Welcome to the deep dive. Today, we're diving into the really, really heavy situation in northern Gaza. You shared with me some deeply concerning material from Al Jazeera, firsthand accounts and casualty reports, and wow, it's a lot.
It really is, and you're right to call it heavy. I think our mission here is to carefully unpack this information, try to understand the different viewpoints presented, and really grasp the human cost of what's happening.
Yeah, the human cost is staggering. Al Jazeera's reporting as of October 21st, 2024, states at least 640 Palestinians have been killed in northern Gaza. And that's just in 17 days.
Right.
33 deaths reported since dawn on the very day this article was published.
Yeah.
And these aren't just numbers on a page. These are lives lost.
Exactly. Each number represents an individual, a family, a story cut short. And it's important to note, the article mentions restricted access for rescue workers in certain areas. So the true death toll is probably much higher than what we're seeing reported, which adds another layer of tragedy to an already devastating situation.
Yeah. It's hard to even process that.
Yeah.
Adding to the weight of this, the Palestinian Authority is using the term genocide to describe what's happening. I have to say that's not a word used lightly. What are the implications of using such a powerful term in this context?
Yeah, you're right. Genocide carries immense weight, both historically and legally. It implies a deliberate attempt to destroy a specific group of people, a crime against humanity. So the Palestinian Authority using this term, I mean, it really elevates the conflict to a whole new level on the world stage, potentially impacting, you know, international response and even future legal proceedings.
Wow. Adds a chilling layer to an already horrific situation. And the article does not shy away from describing those horrors. Residents trapped in their homes, mass blackouts, dwindling supplies of food, water, and medicine. It paints a picture of utter desperation. The article estimates that roughly 175,000 people are still trapped in northern Gaza under these conditions.
Yeah, it's a full-blown humanitarian crisis. Mm-hmm. And within this crisis, certain areas are being hit particularly hard. The article really highlights Jabalia, a refugee camp that's become a focal point of the conflict.
Yes, the situation in Jabalia is described as beyond dire. Can you elaborate on what the article reveals about Jabalia specifically?
Absolutely. The article details accounts of Israeli army attacks in Jabalia, resulting in demolished homes and just devastating casualties. And even UNRWA schools, meant to be safe havens, haven't been spared. This destruction of vital infrastructure, coupled with the immense human cost, has led the UN to issue some really stark warnings about the destruction of the Palestinian population in the area, which emphasizes the extreme vulnerability of those seeking refuge in a place that's supposed to offer safety and aid.
And the article goes on to describe the utter devastation in Jabalia, recounting stories of families huddled in darkness, their homes reduced to rubble. The image that really struck me was the description of UNRWA schools being hit. UNRWA, for those unfamiliar, is the UN agency specifically dedicated to Palestinian refugees. If these supposed safe havens are under attack, what hope is there for ordinary people caught in the crossfire?
Yeah, it's a devastating testament to the escalating brutality of this conflict. The targeting of UNRWA schools underscores the vulnerability of civilians, especially those seeking refuge. And it really raises serious questions about the adherence to international law and the protection of innocent lives.
And tragically, the violence extends far beyond these direct attacks. You highlighted in your notes the accounts from Palestinian women who managed to flee North Gaza. These women describe a horrifying reality at the checkpoints, being separated from their husbands and sons by Israeli forces.
Yes. The article delves into these harrowing experiences. Imagine the fear and uncertainty of families being torn apart, men and boys being detained with no information about their fate. I mean, this separation inflicts really deep psychological wounds, a form of collective trauma that extends far beyond the immediate physical dangers.
It's unimaginable. The psychological toll on families, the fear, the not knowing. It's heartbreaking. It feels like another layer of loss, another way this conflict steals humanity. And in the midst of this chaos, getting aid to those who are trapped seems like an insurmountable task.
It is a monumental challenge, for sure. The article highlights this very issue, citing statements from humanitarian workers and health authorities. You know, most aid isn't getting through because of the constant bombardment and the blockades. This lack of access is exacerbating an already dire situation. There's a chilling quote from Sam Rose, the director of planning at UNRWA, who calls the situation beyond catastrophic.
Wow, those words, beyond catastrophic, just send chills down my spine. When you think about it, the people who are trapped, as the article mentions, have been enduring this conflict for months, some even a year. 12 months of living with the constant threat of violence, displacement, and fear. To then have things escalate to this degree, it's difficult to comprehend.
It is, and it really speaks to a larger pattern of cyclical violence that's plagued this region for decades. The article reminds us that Israel claimed victory in northern Gaza earlier this year, back in January. Yet here we are, witnessing a resurgence of conflict on a devastating scale. This continuous cycle of violence raises serious questions about the effectiveness of past interventions and the pursuit of lasting peace.
It feels like we keep circling back to the same question. What will it actually take to break this cycle of violence? And perhaps even more pressingly, what can be done right now, like today, to help the people trapped in this escalating crisis?
Those are the questions that demand our attention. The article really underscores the desperate need for international pressure, for the establishment of humanitarian corridors, for any measure that can alleviate the immediate suffering of those trapped in northern Gaza.
It's reading these accounts, you can't help but feel overwhelmed by a sense of helplessness. Is there any indication that the pleas of these people are being heard? Are their stories penetrating the global consciousness?
It's a good question. The article highlights a really poignant observation from Al Jazeera's reporter on the ground, Hind Kuduri. She notes that people are desperately trying to share their stories online, recording videos, clinging to the hopes that someone, anyone, will see their plight and respond.
A modern-day message in a bottle, cast out into the digital sea, it's heartbreaking.
Yeah.
But also a testament to the resilience of the human spirit in the face of unimaginable suffering.
Precisely. They're leveraging the tools at their disposal, using social media as a platform to try to break through the noise and bear witness to their reality. It begs the question, you know, in an age that's just saturated with information, what will it take for these cries for help to be truly heard and acted upon?
Yeah. It's a question that lingers long after finishing these reports. This deep dive into the situation in northern Gaza has been incredibly difficult, but incredibly important. The scale of suffering is immense, almost beyond comprehension. But one thing that stands out, aside from the sheer devastation, is the resilience of the human spirit. Those clinging to hope, those risking their lives to share their stories, those fighting for their voices to be heard.
Yeah, you've hit on a crucial point. While we've unpacked the really harrowing realities of this conflict, we must remember that within these statistics, within these accounts of loss and suffering, there are individuals, families, communities demonstrating extraordinary resilience. The path forward demands not only our acknowledgement of the horrors unfolding, but also our unwavering commitment to amplifying their voices and demanding action from those who have the power to affect change. What will it take for the international community to move beyond expressions of concern and engage in meaningful action? What will it take for these cycles of violence to finally be broken? These are the questions we must grapple with, not just as observers, but as individuals who share a common humanity with those bearing the brunt of this ongoing tragedy.
It's a lot to process. And on that note, we'll have to leave it there for today. Thank you so much for lending your expertise to unpack this incredibly complex and tragic situation.
Thank you for having me.